Gracious God, Heavenly Father, help us to focus on that word gracious. How it is that, as Debbie shared with the kids, it truly comes as gift. And they've already preached the message, Lord. It is Jesus that is that greatest gift, that greatest grace story. But bless us in this time of digging into that word just a little bit and proclaiming that message with the way we live our lives in grace towards others because of the grace given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Want to give a bit of a shout out this morning to Clear Lake, Iowa. Clear Lake, Iowa means probably nothing to many of you unless you are familiar with the line from a Don McLean song that goes like this: the day the music died. How many of you know that line? How many of you know that that line is directly connected to Clear Lake, Iowa? Oh, a lesson today. Okay. Clear Lake, Iowa is home of the Surf Ballroom. The Surf Ballroom is the home of the last concert given by Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper. They left that ballroom on a wintry night and took off in an airplane and crashed just outside of Clear Lake in Mason City, Iowa. According to Don McLean, bye-bye, Miss American Pie, that's the day the music died. It was a much more joyful time for us as we came through Clear Lake, Iowa. We stayed there a couple of days. We had an experience. I want to give you a story of Small G Grace. Small G Grace took place because, as some of you know, I've told you I have a superpower. I have two, actually, but I'll just share one of them again. And that is the ability to put something down and immediately forget that I've put it down and walk away from it. And then just not remember it. And that's what happened in a little place called Cabin Coffee. It's a regional coffee shop, excellent coffee if you're up in that area, by all means. And they're owned by Christians, wonderful folks. Bought a bag of coffee to take home and back to the place that we were staying. And the next morning, and I think it was that night, I went, where's that coffee that I bought at Cabin Coffee? And we could not find it. And so the only conclusion we could come to was that I forgot it. I laid it down somewhere and walked out of there. 2 days later, we're leaving Clear Lake, and we decide we want to go get another cup of their good coffee at, 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning. We stop in. Jeanette says, you didn't by chance have anyone turn in a bag of coffee the other day? She says, yes, we did, and here it is. Now, for me, loving coffee as I do, number one, I'm grateful that God didn't make this by coffee alone we are saved. But it is by grace alone we are saved. It was just a little small G grace moment in my life, which pales in comparison to the awesome grace that Paul brings to us in this epistle before us this morning. In fact, it is so part of the fabric of what the Reformation is all about. Would you turn to that page, please, in your service folder? I want to read this together. Give you a minute to get there because I did not give you forewarning on that. But turn to the epistle for today and let's read together this that is so woven into us as God's people who have upon us the label of Lutheran. Together we read, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I really believe that morning I was the recipient of a small g gracious good work that someone had been prepared for beforehand and was able to receive that. And for me, it was a reminder. It was a reminder of the message that I was going to get to proclaim to you today of the great grace of God. That free gift, that undeserved gift, that unfailing love of our Lord. And before you this morning, you have a great story of grace. A great story of the grace of God that upholds us. It's the way that we get to live. It's the way that we get to love one another. It gives us confidence and hope in those darkest times of our lives. I'm coming up on an anniversary. By the way, I thank you for the honoring that was received after 35 years of ministry service, which really doesn't seem that long. But you need to know something. Tomorrow is the 10th anniversary of what could have easily only been 25 years of service in the ministry. Tomorrow's the anniversary of my open heart triple bypass surgery, 10 years ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. But without that, the hands of that surgeon, without the skill, without the grace of God, I don't get to preach this message to you today. And then you look back through your life, and you look back through the lens of Christ, you look back through being connected to Him by our baptism, and you tend to ask yourselves these questions: why, Lord? Why 10 more years? Why not at that point I go home to you? And there's all sorts of answers that you can get, because life looks so much clearer when you look in the rearview mirror, right? And one would be simply that without those skilled hands, I'm not here today to share with you this message of grace that God has for us. That message of grace that as I go into that surgery, and as some of you have gone into those kinds of surgeries, you go into that surgery knowing that by the grace of God, should you die or should you live, you still will behold Him face to face. But in the meantime, I get to live in that grace. And in a personal example of living out those good works that God has laid out before us in Christ Jesus. Now that's a little bit bigger G in my life than the little g of the coffee. I want to take you to the capital G, grace of God, this morning. Because as skilled as the hands of the surgeon were at that time, as skilled as the hands of the technician, there are greater hands than these that go to work for you and me. And you see those hands in the gospel for this morning. When this man, who by all outward appearances, there is no doubt about the fact that this man is an outcast. This man, by every measure of the time, is a sinner. This man is living out the consequences of sin in the world. This man, before he comes to Jesus, is supposed to cry out. We don't have the record of him doing that. But he's supposed to cry out, "I'm unclean, unclean," so that no one else would catch this very terrible disease. But in the story, in the account, in the gospel that is before us from Matthew, this is what Matthew writes. The man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing," hang on to that phrase, would you please? "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That's called faith. And as we look back through time, being some 2,000 years part of the Christian church, as we look back through an empty tomb and a cross, as we look back to this particular moment in time when the Lord demonstrates that He is willing to heal this one man, it is brought to us that not only is the Lord healing on this occasion to heal one, but these are the hands of the Lord who wills to save all, who would have all come to the knowledge of the truth, who would have all know what it means to have Jesus Christ as Savior, who would have all answer as eagerly, as quickly, as this little girl did this morning when asked the question, "What's the greatest gift of all?" Jesus. That's what God would have for you and me. That is the will of the Lord. Now we know that not all people accept that will of the Lord, right? Not all people accept that grace of God. But those hands of God that healed that leper, the hands of God that healed the blind, the hands of God that healed the lame, the hands of God that did those things were nailed to a cross so that you and I might know that those hands that die upon that cross and are resurrected again on Easter morning are the hands that offer the same healing to you and me. Healing beyond leprosy, healing for everything, every brokenness, every sickness that is a part of us, whether it be healing here or it be healing for eternity. I had a conversation this week that reminded me to ask you a question this morning. As we get all wrapped up in grace, and all wrapped up in Jesus. And that is, what needs healing? Why are you here this morning? When you said those words of confession, what came to mind? What came through heart? What's broken? What needs to be reconnected? And then I want to remind you that this is, again, the opportunity that God takes to grace you, to gift you, through the words of one called to do so, with words of forgiveness, anchored to that one who put those hands on the cross for you and me. And this is the opportunity for you to remember that healing that you need does not need to separate you from your Lord. I want you to watch out for a word. Watch out for the word deserve, okay? Watch out for the word deserve. Because as I'm asking you this question, there may be also the thought within your heart that says, you know, this is the need I have. But I don't deserve what Jesus has to give to me. I don't deserve to have those words spoken over me. I don't deserve to be reminded of my baptism. That moment in time in which, you know, baptism is one of those words that if you use it often enough, it can kind of lose its meaning. I wish you could have been with us at the all-youth retreat when some adults were talking about how it is that Matt Popovitz, you know, painted this picture. He used his hand like this. You know, this is God at baptism, he was telling our kids. See, the adults get a lot out of this thing too. This is how God wraps you in his hands in baptism, connects you to the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that you might have healing, and he does it, even though you might be sitting there right now thinking, I don't deserve it. The reason I want to warn you against that word deserve is because you may go off thinking that what you need to do is figure out a way to deserve it. Maybe first you need to wash the car, and then you would deserve the gift. Or you need to pay something, and then you would deserve the gift. I don't deserve the gift. You don't deserve the gift. And if we're not careful, we go off looking for ways to pay for the gift and ways to make ourselves more deserving of the gift. And all of a sudden, we are God and in God's place, and we need a reformation. And by the grace of God, we got one. And by the grace of God, we still get to live in the grace of a reformation. And we get to live with the opportunity to be reformed every day, by virtue of our baptism, and by virtue of the fact that those hands of Jesus took some bread and took some wine and spoke words, his word of God, and says, this is my body, this is my blood, and I give it to you for the forgiveness of sins. I give it to you who are thinking, I don't deserve this. I give it to you whether you kneel or you stand. I give it to you whether you protest or you protect. I give it to you in the midst of whatever it is that you're trying to navigate in this world. I give it to the world because God loved the world. God loved Nepal. God loved East Africa. God loved Asia. God loved the world. And it was his will to give that son for you and me, that we might know his grace and receive that grace. And we might do, as our dear sister Audrey Dungeon Warner likes to say, and oh, we're going to miss those words, but we're going to hang on to those words. She says, you know what we get to do? We get to sit in grace. Sit in grace. In those very difficult times of navigating this world. And we get to live in that grace. And we get to love in that grace. And maybe sometime you're going to get the opportunity to do a small g grace for someone else. I'm sure it's going to be way beyond coffee. Why? Because you have the grace of God. You have Christ who lives in you by grace through faith. Would you close with me? And let's confess that again. Read together that text from Ephesians. Let's rise to do it in preparation for the creed as well. Together we read, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.